Well, I'm sure most of you can relate to what we're going to talk about. Feeling weak, feeling drained, incapable of doing what you have to do or need to do. I know I've been feeling that some lately. But what I want to talk about is why we're weak. Why are we so weak? And I got a phone call the other day from my daughter-in-law. And she said, my son had a stroke, my oldest son. And he is very talented and gifted in many things to do with technology. He works in computers and things at Chrysler, you know, before the stroke. And he's still there, but he can't do what he used to do. But some of his gifting and passion was running sound equipment, special effects with sound, videotaping, special effects with videotaping. He always wanted to video, do special effects in movies and that kind of thing. So that's what he was created to do. He's very gifted and very talented in these areas. And since his stroke, he's found himself kind of limited for the last 5 years or so. But he got a call from his church, and his church is a church of about 5,000 people. And he runs the sound equipment there. So they called him and said, we're going to start videotaping services and we'd like you to do it. He got so excited because it's his gifting. It's his God-given talent, you know. And he thought, this is something I can do. He has trouble with anything, communication. If there's too many people around, he doesn't understand your words, confusion. Sometimes he can't find a right word to tell you what he's trying to say. So he can do things, but communication is the problem. So he thought, video. I can run a video camera. I can, you know, get the right angles. I can, you know, do a good job on that. Something I can do. But when he got to the church, they said, we're going to run three cameras. And we're going to need you to do the editing of putting the three together. And we'll be talking about what we want, you know, what parts we want, how we want it to look, how we want it to go. They got excited. They're talking, carrying on about what all they wanted. And he couldn't understand what they were saying. And he got extremely depressed, discouraged, that even what he was created to do, he can't do because of the stroke. And then they went to sign papers somewhere, and he was already upset. So numbers were mixing up, and he's always been a genius with math, calculus, and trigonometry, and higher maths. And he went to sign his name and put the date, and he couldn't get the numbers right. He kept writing them out of order, and he did it like three different pages. He tried to do it, and finally he gave the paper to his wife, and she filled in the date, and then he felt really stupid because he couldn't even write the year that it is. So he went home very depressed, discouraged, and as she was sharing that with me, I was just grieved, and I went to God, and I said, I don't get it. You created him with a gift, with a talent, with something special. You created him with a purpose and a desire to do that, and then you let him have a stroke, and he can't do it. He can't do it anymore. You know, and I started thinking about it, and I thought, why would you do that? Why would you give him a gifting and then enable him to perform it? And I realized that's exactly what he did with me. He gave me, since I could pick up a pencil, I've wanted to write. And I'm terrible at spelling. I'm terrible at grammar. English is not my strong point. God, why wouldn't you give me English as a strong point if you want me to write? It's like you crippled me in the ability to do it. And I wanted to paint pictures. I've only got one eye that works. Sometimes the other one jumps in, and then it only confuses me. Now, why would you give me bad eyes? You know, so, and I can't do what you created me to do. And I thought about Glenn. He's got this gifting of loving to remodel, to repair, to build, to do construction. And for the last few years with his illness, he said, I can't do that anymore. I need to realize I can't do that anymore. So as I was praying about this, what came to mind was a verse. Psalm 102:23. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. He weakened my strength in the way. This was written by King David. Called to be a king, and he couldn't do it. He said, God, you made me too weak. I cannot do what you called me to do because you made me weak. Well, he made my son weak. He made me weak. He made you weak. And there's a reason. And it is because we need him. It makes us dependent upon him. It makes us desperate for him. So, you know, we start out life, and sometimes we can do those things. It's like giving you a bite of candy, then taking the bag away, you know. You start out, you get a taste for what you're called to do, and you go, I like this. I want to do this. This is me. This is my life. This is my passion. But then as you go your way, all of a sudden something happens, and he weakens you. And he does it because if we can do it in our own strength, we will. That's our human nature. We don't call on God until we need him. We don't wake up in the morning full of strength and say, God, give me strength. You already have strength. So you go in your strength and you do what you can do and you do it well. And as you do, you become proud of yourself. People brag on you and say, wow, you do good work. And you go, yeah, thank you. And we take that praise because we did do good work, right? We did. We did everything we could do. And we deserve the praise for what we can do. But God wants more than that. He doesn't want us to work for him. He certainly doesn't want us to work without him. He wants us to work with him. He wants the oneness. He wants the relationship. He wants to empower, anoint, and bring the impossible into the possible realm. He wants to do what we can't do. A woman with a beautiful voice can sing a beautiful song. It may get to your ears and your mind, and the words may be good and make you think different. It may touch your heart. You may cry. You may laugh. But it won't go to the spirit. And that's where change comes. That's where healing happens. That's where power happens. That's where life begins. And only God can get to that place. So when we do it with God, now his spirit comes into the words. His spirit comes into the music. And something down inside of us comes alive and changes. God wants to empower. And he also wants the glory, which really comes down to he wants to be seen and known and experienced and loved. And when we are getting all the praise and glory for being such a nice guy, God is not being seen. But when you go out there in weakness, and you have to depend on him, and he rises up and you do what you know you couldn't do without him, and people say, wow, you do good work. You go, no, I couldn't do this. God had to do this. I couldn't do this. And you give him his glory, and you get his power, and you know it's his power. You don't steal it because you know you couldn't do it. You were too weak. So it's a good thing that we are weakened, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see that? He weakens your strength. And then his grace is made perfect in your weakness. So you need grace. And you're not going to get it until you're weak. If you want God to be powerful in your life, he's going to be powerful where you're weak. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. So when I find out I'm too weak to do what he wants me to do, I should get excited. Because now he's going to do it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now that really, really hit me. That it is exactly why he must weaken us and exactly where he must weaken us. He has to weaken us exactly where we were strong. Where we thought we were strong, where we were strong, is exactly where we must become weak. Because then it has to be Jesus. Then we need him. Then we seek him. We go after him. Now he said, his grace is given to me when I'm weak. I love the word grace. I explain it all the time because I want us to be brainwashed with what it means. It is mercy. It is getting what you don't deserve. It is. But it's more than that. It is the divine influence of God inside of you, to you. It is Him communicating with you. It is Him giving you something, saying something to you, instructing you. It's God, His will. It's when you yield to His will, and then He empowers you to do it. That's grace. It's the presence of God in you to do what God wants you to do. That's grace. And it flows through you and it touches everybody around you. That's grace. And He gives it to you when you're weak. Why does He give it to you when you're weak? Because if He gave it to you when you were strong, you'd steal His glory. He must give it to you in your weakness, because in your weakness you become humble. Now James 4:6 says, but He gives more grace. Would you like more grace? What does that mean? Would you like more of the divine influence of God to come to you? Would you like to hear Him speak to you more? Would you like Him to call you to do something and give you power to do it? Would you like to see the anointing of God come upon you more? Well, it says He gives more grace, wherefore He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. When we are weakened, we become humble. The weaker you are, the more humble you are, right?
Yes.
Now, if you take a crippled man and tell him, and he says, God, what is your will for me? Because we know, James, we're going to go to there in a minute, about you ask God wisdom, and then God gives you wisdom. It's a promise. So we got a crippled man, and he says, God, what do you want me to do today? And God says, I want you to get up and walk across the room. What? I'm crippled. I totally can't walk. God says, I know. Now I want you to get up and walk across the room. Because it's God's will, it's going to be followed with God's ability to do it. That man has some faith to jump out of that chair. And when he does, he's going to walk across the room. Because God said so. Part of our problem is that when we ask God for grace, we ask Him to give us grace for what we want to do. We decide, this is what I'm going to do today, God. Please give me grace to do it. We forget about the part about seeking His wisdom. What do you want me to do?
Amen.
Because once we know what He wants, we're guaranteed He's going to provide the grace to do it.
Right.
And when we're weak in the thing that He asks us to do, we know He's going to become our strength. This is just coming together so beautifully, because my son is going to videotape if God called him to do it. And he's going to put it together beautifully, whether he understands their words or not. They're going to say, how did you do that when I didn't even tell you what I wanted? God told me. And he's going to do it. And we're going to do what we can't do. You know, we're not going into retirement from what God designed you for. We're going into refurbishment. We're getting refurbished to do it. You're not done being a home remodeler, carpenter. You're not done. You get the hammer back out of the dusty box. You've been doing it all week, haven't you? You've been doing it all week. You've been doing what you can't do.
By His grace.
By His grace. Now, sometimes we push beyond that grace. You know, the grace runs out, we push ourselves, and we go back into the human mode. But I have to do it, because it has to be done. I have to do it, because nobody else will. I have to go further, because other people are still working. I have to. And then what happens? God punched the time clock already, hit the buzzer, and said, grace is done, it means you're done. But we said, no, I can't be done. Then we end up pushing too hard, pushing in the flesh, hurting our body, getting mentally worn out, and saying, now I'm mad at myself because I can't do more. You can perfectly do whatever He gives you grace to do. And to try to work beyond the grace of God is to argue with God and say, I know you're not telling me to do it, but I'm doing it anyway. Why would we do that? Whatever He wants us to do, He empowers us to do, and there's peace and there's grace. I worked at the flip house doing things I don't do all week. I painted. I don't like to paint. I've been hiring somebody to paint for me for years. Now I'm painting. I'm not a good painter, and I don't want to paint. But I had grace to paint because they told me to go paint. And I had grace. We had fun. We laughed. We joked. We had a good time. And my paint doesn't look too bad either. But there was a point in the day Every day, there was a point where I'd finish a project and I would look around and I'd go, oh, I just can't do anymore. Oh, I just can't do. I don't. And I went, God, is the grace gone? And it was like, you're done. Go home. No matter what time it is, who else is still there? I was done. And the very thing I looked at and went, I can't even think about doing that. The next day I'd go back and I'd go, I want to do that. I was full of grace again. And I was ready for that. If we would just learn that simple, simple secret, what does he want me to do? Now we're going to go to that. Let's go to James for a minute. We're going to go to James about wisdom here for a minute. James chapter 1, verse 5. I love this, and we preach this one all the time too. But this is the first step. You want to step into grace. Grace is the divine influence of God telling you what he wants, giving you power to do it. So it's not you going after God and saying, this is what I'm going to do. But if it's something you have to do, like every day go to work, yeah, that's something you have to do. And you need to go to God and say, I need grace to do it. If you want me doing this job, I need grace to do this job. Now, if he says, I don't want you doing that job, then quit your job and walk away. I mean, seriously, have you ever walked away from a job with no other income, nowhere to walk to? Sometimes he tells you to do that. But if you have a job and you have to have that job, then you ask him for the grace because he's told you to stay there and work for now. We've stayed in churches we didn't want to be in because he told us we had to stay for a while. And there was grace to do it until it was time to leave. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, I love that word, any. It's not saying if my pastors need wisdom, if my prophets need wisdom, if you, Christian brother, need wisdom. He said anyone. Anyone, anybody that wants wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. You know, this is an all, any promise. You don't have to do anything to claim this one. If you ask, he will give you wisdom. Right. I've seen people not walking with God, and they were in a problem and said, I don't know what to do. And I said, here's your verse. They said, well, I've not been obeying God. And I said, doesn't say it. Says anyone, all men, he's not even going to rebuke you or say, well, if you do what I want or if you come back into, he said, it will be given him. And they asked and God gave them an idea. And immediately they said, I don't think it's God. I'm not doing it. How does he talk to us? Most of the time, he speaks through our thoughts. So if you're coming in here and you're claiming, God, you said if I ask for wisdom, you will give me wisdom, and I know you usually speak through my thoughts, I'm going to believe it's you when I get a thought. Because sometimes that thought is shocking, and you go, oh my goodness, would God say that? That's usually when it is God. That's why it goes on in the next verse, and it said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, you come to claim a promise of God. And then if you don't like what he said, or you just can't hardly believe it, if you argue with it, if you doubt it, you probably won't do it. And you just walked away from your grace. He just walked away from the power to do it. Because you wouldn't believe God after you ask him. And God already knows. If you're coming in there saying, God, I'm going to ask you, but if I don't like what you say, I'm not going to do it. He's not going to answer. God, I'm going to ask you, but I already know what I want you to answer me. And he wants you to come with a, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. When I'm asking, I'm going to say, I have faith. I'm going to believe it's you. And I'm going to obey it, whatever it is. It might not make sense. It might go against everything you feel and want and believe and all other people are saying to you. But if you're going to even step out and ask, be ready to do. Amen. No matter what. Because when you do, when you step in obedience, there will be grace. There will be power. There will be peace. There will be the ability to do what he's asking you to do. Or to give what he's asking you to give. To say what he's asking you to say. It is so simple. He created you with some gifts and talents and desires. And then he weakened you in that very place. But when you come and say, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to give? And he speaks to you and you do it. The presence, the power of God comes on you to fulfill it. Because it's his will and it's his way. The intimacy, the relationship, the walking in oneness. It's like you're unplugged. You're unplugged. But when you come into what he wants, you plug in and the power begins to run. You're completed. You're completed. That's oneness. And then you find out fully who you are and what you can do in this life. No one is retired. We're refurbished. We're restored. And it doesn't mean you get all your health back. It means today I want you to work. Today I'm going to give you power to work. Tomorrow you might be a cripple and you can't get out of bed. Because today I want you to rest and just spend the day in bed and pray. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell you to get up again and work again. But if we would learn to live in the grace, we could live in peace. We could live in power. And we could have rest. And everything would work. It would all work. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In the power of his might. If you want to read the beginning one where he weakened my strength in the way, that was spoken to King David, Psalm 102, read that chapter. Poor David. Oh, that poor young man. He is just praying and praying. God, my life is miserable. God, all these problems, all this stuff is wrong with me and all this is going on. And he gets all the way down there to that verse and it says, he weakened my strength in the way. There's your answer. You aren't weak enough to become strong enough yet. But when you accept your weakness and step into his strength, you can become stronger than ever. I love it. It's what I need. It's Harvey heard it. It clicked. It was what he needed. I just got so excited. I said, I think everybody at Burning Bush has been weakened. In the very area where they were strong, they have become weak. Now if we just step into his strength, we can come alive again. We haven't lost it. We're just getting it empowered.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this revelation. I guess I knew it, but I didn't know it alive enough yet. Now it's really breathing life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.